Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of HCF Third Culture Kid, where I, as a third culture kid, share my thoughts, experiences, and conversations. And my experiences, especially in the next 2-3 years, is going to be very heavily related to law school, because I'm a law school student right now. And in this episode, I wanted to recap my first 2 weeks of law school. Right now, I'm in my fourth week of law school. I just concluded my fourth week of law school. And I must say that where I am at the end of my fourth week of law school is vastly different from how I felt after the end, after I reached the end of my 2 weeks of law school. But nonetheless, I think it's nice to recap. I do want to journal it and chronicle it. So let's recap my first 2 weeks of law school. Just to give a summary of what I'm going to be going through, I will talk about the rumor mill nature of law school. People and students love rumors here. To some thoughts I had as I was going through the different experiences of law school and how I think me being older has provided some benefits as opposed to if I were younger. I'll talk about the happy hours, which is definitely a drastic change compared to my life before law school. I'll talk about the first class I concluded, legal methods. It was like a one unit class and they made it last only 2 weeks, but we had it every single day, unlike my other classes that will go for like 3 days a week, but legal methods went for every day. And then I'll also talk about finding the people I click with, just a brief note on that. Those are the things I'll be talking about. So first on the rumor mill, people really do love rumors here. I can tell that people get really engaged about rumors. They want to know the rumors. And there's just a certain enjoyment people get about hearing spicy information. But it's nothing like really malicious that I've heard. Not specifically malicious. I think maybe like there's a conversation about who are gunners in the section. Gunners being like, I don't even know what gunners mean. I think it's like overly ambitious people who are trying to do really well in class. There's like a negative connotation associated with that, but hey, if you're doing it not at the expense of other people, I have nothing against that. And I just found that I'm really non-reactive to rumors in a way that I think shows that I enjoy rumors. Like I don't, what I've observed from many people is maybe not all of them for sure, but people love rumors and want to like hear more about it, but yeah, I don't like that as much. And I think it gets to me in a frame of mind where I become like really judgmental. And I don't like that. So I realize I have to kind of like distance myself from rumors. I will not share some specific rumors. This is a public podcast after all. But that's kind of a culture I realize that I'll probably have to set boundaries around. As I was like meeting new people in my first 2 weeks of law school, which included orientation, I met a lot of different people. I tried to talk to various different people. How our law school experience is kind of framed is that we had 400 students about enter this first year of law school, but then we'll further segment that into four different sections. So we have 100 students each in different sections, and we're all taking the same class, but only within the sections. So I never meet anybody from another section. Not never, but very rarely meet people from another section. And again, I have much more exposure and much more face time with people that are in my section. So only 1/4 of my 1L class, 1L meaning my first year of law school. So I try to meet a lot of different people, and I meet people from like various ages. We talk about what we're looking for out of law school. Many answers are things that I think I would have said when I was younger too. Like, you know, I don't know what I want to do, or I just want to raise money. So just meeting different people and just reflecting on what I would have been like if I were younger, I realized there are definitely a few benefits that have come to me as I am older now. One, I have compared to when I was younger, I think I have more of a sense of security about my strengths and my weaknesses. I am comfortable more with my weaknesses than I would have been if I were younger. I think law school is a competitive environment. It's a new environment. And then seeing all these brilliant people around, I might have felt more insecure when I was younger, given my weaknesses maybe. Like, I don't think I'm the best public speaker. I don't think I'm terrible, but I'm not like the best public speaker too. And that might have been a shortcoming that I might have been very acutely insecure of if I came straight from college. And I don't think I have that discomfort with that shortcoming as much now. I just accepted it, and I just, in accepting, I'll try to, I'll continue to work on it, but it doesn't elicit a sense of insecurity. And I think that's because over time I realized that it's something I can get better at, and I've just come to accept that I have some shortcomings. And then I think having a good sense of my strengths as well, knowing that I can rebound after a setback pretty well. Things like that, I think, provide confidence that, you know, throughout law school, I'll be able to power through it despite the obstacles and the difficulties. Perhaps I would have had that when I was younger too. I think I had that kind of attitude. But I do think a greater sense of my strengths here give me confidence in being able to tackle some foreseeable obstacles and some unforeseeable obstacles. Obstacles that I'm like, I don't know what's going to come ahead. But I have a vague sense it's going to be afraid. But having a good grasp of my strengths, I think, helped me be comfortable with the fact that I'll be able to, not the fact, but the prospect that I'll be able to handle through and be able to handle these obstacles going forward. What else? What else is a benefit? I think if I were younger, I'd also have this like a stronger need to feel like I have to belong to a certain group and find my like niche of friends. But I don't feel that much of a need anymore. I think I'm more certain because of the work experience that I've had, I'm more certain of what I want to do, which involves legal tech, also maybe in criminal law, litigation. So I know that I will derive some genuine amount of satisfaction from those areas and that subject matter. If I were younger, I don't think I would know as much, and therefore I'd be a little bit more frantic in trying to find what fits, what kind of groups, what kind of people I should hang out with and I should really click with. But really finding a group that I can really belong to. Sure, I have that desire as well too. I want to find a community of people that I really click with too. And I think now I'm realizing that that might not just be one community, like a one group of people. It could be several groups of people, because my interests and my personality may not be embodied in just one group. It may be like decentralized across different peoples. And that might be the case. That's probably the case for everyone else. You're not going to find an exact replica of yourself in one group. But yeah, I do want to have like a group that I can click with, or groups that I can click with. But I think if I were younger, I would feel that need a little bit more desperately and urgently, and in a manner that might be unhealthy. Yeah. Yeah, I think the fact that I'm older and I have beyond law school a community of friends that I am now. I was going to say because I'm older, I have a community of friends that I know I can rely on. But I think that's the case even before law school. Like, you're going through high school, going through college, you are going to make lifelong friends. And that's the group of friends that will be there for you, no matter if you're younger or older. But I do think, given my experience, having tried different things, and also knowing that I have a group of people that I can turn back to and rely on, and have, you know, gone through trials and tribulations with me, provides a sense of security and decreases my like unhealthy levels of urgency and desperation to try to find a group that I belong with. That's the case for me. I think if I were younger, I would have felt otherwise, I believe. But yeah, so that's I think some of the benefits of being older that I've realized. Overall, just a greater sense of assurance. Third thing, happy hours. Happy hours. I think I've attended the first 2 weeks of law school, I attended the most happy hours I've ever had since compared to like 3 years ago before I attended law school. Granted, we were in the pandemic, so I didn't really hang out with folks, but still, it doesn't mean that it wasn't a drastic change for me. And the happy hours can be both fun and pretty exhausting. It's like unnecessarily exhausting because you're in like a small bar. I feel like there's better ways to do these happy hours. Like, you can split the law school students across two different bars, which I think happens in practice, but that's not the initial plan. Like, everybody goes to one bar and we all try to squeeze in there. And it just becomes very difficult to talk because you have to speak really loud. 70% is like maybe the maximum amount of things that I can hear from the other party. So I have to pretend like it really gets in the way of engaging truly in the conversation. But it's fun because you get to meet a lot of different people. And there's a lot of energy buzzing around when a bar is full and packed too. But yeah, those have been the happy hours, energetic, getting to meet different people. I try to get, some people stay out till like 4 a.m. I cannot, I think sleep, I'm realizing that sleep is very, very important because otherwise I get a little lightheaded throughout the day. I can still manage and survive and take good notes, I think, during class and keep up, but that's not a mental state I want to be in if I can choose not to. So yeah, people stay a little bit longer. I try to not stay as out long. Yeah, nothing crazy I've witnessed in happy hours. And maybe that bodes well for our student body. Like, we're very courteous. We're respectful. We're not creepy people on average, it seems. So yeah, overall happy hours have been good, but it has been exhausting. I don't only drink water there on happy hours. And I feel like the bartender, when I just ask for water, there's a sort of like distaste given that everybody's like drinking alcohol and that actually translates to money for the bar, but I'm like the one person or one of the few people that ask for water. I don't know, I just sense that in the way they prepare the water, there's just not a lot of care in preparing water, but maybe there's not a lot of care to be had in preparing water. Yeah, this is me overthinking it. But yeah, I just drink water during happy hours and I don't regret that decision. I think it minimizes the kind of exhaustion, the post-exhaustion that I might feel after a happy hour. Yeah, and the happy hours are kind of an accelerant of like finding who you're going to click with and who you're not going to click with. So glad for those, but I will have to kind of limit my happy hours because they can be pretty exhausting. Moving on to the next topic, legal methods. This was the first class in law school that I concluded. It was a pass-fail class, so it wasn't that serious. But boy, oh boy, there was like a lot of readings. I think the idea of the class was to introduce us to quote-unquote legal methods, get us comfortable with legal language, reading cases. That's a subset of the methodology in studying law. But the cases that we were reading were like from the 1800s. Man, do I remember some of the cases? There was like a case about a retailer that sold what was labeled as medicine but was actually poison, but they received this from like one of the manufacturers of the poison, but the manufacturer mislabeled it as a medicine when it was actually it was poisonous, and then the retailer that got that from the manufacturer then sold it to a patient who was prescribed the medicine, and then they ate the thing and I don't know if they died or they were injured, but the person that ate the mislabeled poison then was suing the manufacturer, I believe, not the retailer. So the way I described it right now sounds pretty straightforward, but the case itself was like using archaic language, words I've never heard about. When the professor explained it, he said something about privity, I believe. Privity is, I've never heard this term in my other law school classes, but I think it's in layman's terms, it means contractual obligation. You know what? I'm going to look this up right now. What does privity mean? A relation between two parties that is recognized by law, such as that of blood, lease, or service. Yeah, so a relation between... Okay, so probably a contractual obligation is a subset of privity, because that is one type of relation between two parties that is recognized by law. But, oh, okay, so I think in class you talked about privity of contract. And in the case was, don't quote me on this, but I think the holding and the reasoning of the case is that because there was no privity of contract, meaning a contractual obligation from the manufacturer to the end user, the manufacturer was not liable? Or was that overridden by the fact that the manufacturer mislabeled the medicine and that was pretty negligent? Okay, well, I must clarify as well. Privity of contract is a common law principle which provides that a contract cannot confer rights or impose obligations upon any person who is not a party to the contract. So in this case that I mentioned about the mislabeled medicine and the poison, is that the user of that that mislabeled poison was not in contract with the manufacturer, and therefore the manufacturer cannot be held liable because they were not in privity with each other. Okay, given that I've elaborated on this so much, I really need to fact check myself. So let me look this up. Okay, so the concepts that I discussed were indeed relevant to the case. In the end, the court ruled that privity of contract is not required for a claim arising out of the negligent manufacture of an inherently dangerous product. Because the poison was inherently dangerous and the manufacturer was negligent in mislabeling the medicine but when in fact it was poison, privity of contract will take a backseat. It does not protect the manufacturer from liability for their negligence in mislabeling an inherently dangerous product, which in this case was poison. Okay, so that's in summary the case. Now, that case was like from the 1800s, I believe, and it was just really archaic language. And then we had like every other day we had cases like that to read. And I was just daunted by all the reading because it's just so hard to follow. But I think I'm developing that muscle now, so it's easier for me to read the cases. And our TA mentioned that the cases that we read going forward are not going to be like the case that we're reading now, and I'm finding that that is pretty true. So I'm glad for that. But it was a tough class because I was quite daunted thinking that, wow, if my law school classes are like this legal methods class and the reading is similar, then I'm going to have a tough time in law school. But I'm glad that the reading is not quite reflective of the other law school reading that I've been doing. So reading was tough. And other things that we did in legal methods class was our professor brought in like a great slate of guest speakers. He brought in David Latt, who was one of the founders, if not the only one, for Above the Law, which is like a legal media outlet. I don't think they print papers, so it's a website. It's an online legal media outlet. And then somebody that was a lawyer in the government, another person who was a partner in the firm. We also talked to a judge. So just a wide array of people who walk different walks in the legal industry and the legal profession. And in him doing that, I think he showed another aspect of legal methods, how one can approach the legal profession, which is part of the methodology, I think, in pursuing law. So I'm grateful for that, too. He also hosted social events. Well, I think our section, compared to the other three sections, we had the most social events. We had like an ice cream social. We had a cocktail event at a law firm office. And I think we had one more, but I don't quite remember. Oh, yeah, our TAs organized another social. And it was nice just connecting with everyone, just talking. So the idea behind that, because it was consistent with his theme, was like just to get to know your law school friends. I was about to say teammates. That's like a habit from work. But yeah, get to know your law school classmates because these can be your lifelong friends. And he's said that multiple times throughout his class. So. And I think that's another part of legal methods. Part of your legal profession is to make lifelong friends. So he spoke and touched on and taught on a lot of different dimensions of what makes up the legal profession. And I think in our legal methods class, you also get to hear a lot of your classmates and what they think. And what I've realized is we definitely have a diverse, I really liked hearing the diverse array of thoughts. I learned stuff from my classmates. There were things that were said that I was like, oh, that's really insightful. Many things that I react to thinking, wow, that person must be really smart. Very articulate too. It was pretty inspiring and also challenged me to like, oh, okay, I got to pick up my games quite kind of reaction too. But also I think despite the diversity, I think the most outspoken people, there was a lot of partisan thinking. I can tell that the most vocal people tended to be people that were very left-leaning or Democratic, I think. I say I think because I don't know if I fully understand what a Democrat means. But yeah, there was a lot of passion, I think, behind some of the political questions that we explored about democracy. But the passion was really one-sided about how our democracy is failing and how solutions to democracy are elusive and difficult to implement, and the professor urged us to be more optimistic. There was a bit of that. Yeah, and I found that conversation to also be interesting. I'll leave it at that for the legal methods class. So all in all, very meaningful class in my opinion, fulfilling. I will probably remember many of the events that transpired in legal methods class, I think. But who knows? It's premature to say, I guess. We'll see in like 5 years from now. But I do have this on a podcast, so I can always revisit this if I really want to recall. I'm going to end this podcast episode here. I think that's a kind of a good recap of some of the highlights of my first 2 weeks of law school. If I have to characterize my first two, like summarize my first 2 weeks of law school, it was really about like finding my footing a little bit, gaining some more assurance that law school is the right path. Because like before I started law school, I started to have some doubts about like whether law school is the right path for me, especially just given the significant expenditures and the debt that I'm taking on to pay for law school. But the first 2 weeks of law school, I think, helped me feel like I was in the right place, being surrounded by amazing, brilliant people with just diverse thoughts. And so not everyone's going to have the same thoughts too, and someone's going to offer something else that's very insightful and valuable. So that was encouraging to see. And then also reading the subject matter, although it's quite archaic and difficult to read, like the core subject matter about people's rights, how the law protected some of the rights, how the law governed what was right, what wasn't right, what should be corrected, what shouldn't be corrected, that sort of stuff. That's engaging to me. So the first 2 weeks of law school was about building more assurance that I made the right decision. All right, thanks for listening to the podcast. Hopefully I have some, not hopefully, I'll have different thoughts to share for my second week of law school and my second, no, not my second week, sorry, my third and fourth weeks of law school. Until then, talk to you guys later. Bye.